1 Samuel chapter 17. So for Upward Sunday, I thought I would, what do I preach on for Upward Sunday? I thought, okay, kids story, the story of David and Goliath. So then I worked on a sermon on David and Goliath and got deep into it and like intense. And 4 o'clock this morning, I wake up and I have to wake up my wife and I go, you know what? I don't know if this is too intense for the kids in Upward. And she's like, I heard about this story when I was a little kid. So just preach it. It's in God's word and don't worry about it. Anyway, 1 Samuel 17, the story of David and Goliath. So I believe that the world needs heroes, needs champions. And I feel bad because in the United States, I can only wish that Jesus Christ was the champion that people look to in the United States. But because we've eliminated God, now all the young people, they look to sports heroes. In basketball, it might be Michael Jordan. Or maybe they look up to movie stars. Or maybe they look up to politicians to be their hero. There's something built in us that we like a hero. We like a champion. We like someone we want to copy and follow and follow after. And I think God made us that way to follow after Jesus Christ. But in the United States, as we've turned from Jesus, all of these young people look to men of the earth to be their heroes. Even the people that follow ISIS, I feel bad for them because they don't have Jesus Christ, and so they follow where it seems to be exciting or where they could be a hero, where they can be a champion. So I want to suggest to you 2 champions, David in the Old Testament, and then we're going to look in the New Testament at my personal champion. So let's look at the story. It's David and Goliath, and we're going to go somewhat deep. Let's start in verse 3. The Philistines occupied one hill, and the Israelites another. The Philistines are the bad people. And the Israelites another, with the valley between them. So on one hill is the good guys, on one hill is the bad guys, and the valley is in between. Kind of reminds me of a football game. The spectators for the one team are on one side, and the spectators for the other team is on the other side. And the play is in the field, in the middle. A champion, verse 4. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. So here comes their champion and their hero. He was over 9 feet tall. Michael Jordan was only 6'6" tall. Goliath is 9 feet tall. I'm sure if he was living in the United States, every basketball team would be drafting him. You know, he could just dunk the ball, just drop it. How would you guard a guy like that, okay? He's huge. 9 feet tall, he had, verse 5, he had a bronze helmet on his head, wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels, about 125, 150 pounds. He carried a person on him in armor. On his legs, verse 6, he wore bronze greaves. Those were the leggings of that day. And a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels, 15 to 25 pounds. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Now, this spear was like a weaver's rod. They think it had like a leather strap that he could whip it back and forth, and it had a big head on it, and he'd whip it back and forth, and yeah, pow, put a hole right through you. Okay. So vicious. And then his armor bearer was actually a guy that stood in front of him behind holding up a wall, a shield. Okay. So there was actually this guy in front of Goliath holding a shield up. So here's some pictures. What's wrong? These are old paintings of David and Goliath. What's wrong with this painting? Goliath's holding his own shield, and what else? Like, yeah, I don't see any armor on this Goliath, okay? So how about this picture? Another old painting. I see the leggings, and I can see now the armor and a big shield. But again, who's holding his shield? He is. All right. All right. How about this one? This one's a little bit better. So do you see how the shield bearer? By the way, Who do you think got killed first, usually? The shield bearer, yeah. When you were fighting, you had to kill the guy behind the shield first to get to the real enemy. I always feel bad. The losers would be the shield bearers. Like, oh, you can't fight very well? You're drafted to be a shield bearer. You know, and it just, you know, stab through the shield, and there goes the shield bearer, okay? So, all right, let's read on. Verse 8, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Verse 17. Oh, let me stop here for a second. So Goliath is this giant, evil giant, and he's mean and tall and talks trash. But we all face Goliaths in our lives. They're not exactly the same as this Goliath, but they're Goliaths nonetheless. And I have here's a list of some of the giants that we face. What's interesting is this Goliath was, you know, intimidating all of the Israelites. I was saying to myself, many of these giants we have to all fight sooner or later. Like, I have fought many of these giants in my life, and I'm sure maybe you have as well. Like the giant of unemployment, the giant of debt, credit card debt or school debt, the giant of disease and sickness, the giant of being abandoned by maybe your parents or by your spouse or some good friend, the giant of brokenness, the giant of depression, the giant of addiction to drugs and pornography, the giant of bad habits, the giant of past failures, and I'm sure there are many other giants that we face. And they talk trash. You're worthless. You're never going to work a good job. You're never going to do anything that will be productive. Or you're in debt. I own you. You'll never get free of the debt that you're in. You're always financially going to be bound up. Or you're depressed. You will always be depressed. Your life is one of misery for your whole life. You will never experience a joy. You're addicted. I own you through drugs and alcohol. You will never get free of me. You are a failure. It's amazing how many Christians I've been dealing with giant number 9. You're a loser. You'll never amount to anything. You can never be anything. It's interesting. We face many of these giants. So I want to suggest to you lessons to stand up and get the victory over the giants in your life. So let's pick up the story in verse 17. Now Jesse, that's the father of David, Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers, and hurry to their camp." So the brothers are in the battle, and David's a shepherd, and the father sends David off with some food to take to the brothers. Verse 22, David arrives. Verse 22, David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. "Hey, brothers, how you doing?" As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." It's a nice benefit. Verse 28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now, what have I done? Verse 29. Now, what have I done? Said David. Can't I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before, like, what will be given to the man who kills this giant? What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth. Goliath was a bully in school. In eighth grade, he was already 7 foot tall, and he beat up all the 5 year, you know, the 5 foot tall kids. He's been a bully his whole life. You're not able to fight him, David. Verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came out and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, and the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, his shepherd's staff, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? He's looking at his shepherd's staff. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said. Now give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. All right. Stop there. So lessons to stand up and get the victory over the giants in your life. And David is just this amazing example. Number one, you got to plug into the source of power. David, he doesn't say he killed the bear and the lion. He says the Lord gave him the power and the ability to fight the bear and the lion. In fact, if you look back in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, Samuel comes to anoint the future king, and he meets all of Jesse's sons and says, no, it's not this one, it's not this one, not this one. And he says, hey, do you have any left? And Jesse says, yeah, I got a little, my smallest son, David, he's a shepherd. Well, bring him in. And sure enough, Samuel says, this is one I'm going to anoint. Verse 13 of 1 Samuel 16. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. You're never going to be able to defeat any of these giants that I went over until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think lots of Christians think they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you don't have any power to conquer any giants in your life. And so you need the filling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. If you try to fight these giants in your own strength and in your own power, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. You're going to go down. And the reason you keep going down is because you haven't surrendered and asked God to fill you with the power, with the anointing. I wish we could just take these bottles of oil and just pour it on some of you. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two, training on the go, I call it. Remember your training. See, God will always prepare you ahead of time for the giants you're going to face today. David says, you know what? I fought a bear. I didn't realize it at the time. That seemed like the giant at that time, and God gave me the victory. And then I fought the lion that grabbed one of the sheep, and then God gave me the victory. Now I look back and realize that God was training me for the giant Goliath that I'm going to face today. See, God will, he's always training you to be godly, to do spiritual warfare. The training, the giants I faced in my first church helped train me to grow my faith to face the giants in my second church. And then the giants I faced in that church helped to train me to face the giants in the district. And the district helped me to face the giants at Mars Alliance, okay? And David testifies. That's what's so powerful about testimonies. That's why I like keeping a diary. Because it's good to remember when God gives you the victory in the past, because it strengthens your faith in the present. So remember your training. Remember that God's delivered you in the past and he can do it again. Number three, don't be distracted by criticism. So David's brothers, David's like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go battle. And David's brothers, what are you doing here? You're just a conceited, you're a troublemaker. You're just come to watch the battle. You will be criticized by your own team. You'll be criticized by fellow believers who are in fear over the giant. They're facing the same giants, but they've already given in. They're already shirking in fear, and so they will criticize you. When you step out and say, I'm going to do this in the Lord Almighty's power, in his strength, there will be the people in the church who don't want to do anything, who are already scared, who will try to scare you. Don't be distracted by your own brothers who tell you you can't do it. Number four, think about the reward. Actually, three times David asked the men, hey, what do you get? What's the reward if you kill this giant? Three things. Wealth, you get to marry the king's daughter. You get a bride. And you don't have to pay, your father doesn't have to pay any more taxes. Wouldn't that be nice? I'm working on my taxes now. Would that be nice not to have to pay any more taxes for the rest of your life? Yes, we'd all be wealthy. Okay. So think about the reward. Think about the reward. Whenever you conquer any giant, there is a reward. If you conquer the giant of debt, there is a reward when you live debt-free. And you have the freedom to give and the freedom to serve and to love. And you're not bound all the time with where your money has to go. There's a freedom when you... there's a reward when you get over depression. The reward of every day living in the joy of the Lord. Even the smallest of things in life, you can have this incredible joy when you defeat the giant of depression. When you defeat the giant of addiction to alcohol or drugs. There's a reward when you can be free. There's rewards when giants go down. Choose the right armor. We don't want the armor of the world. We don't want the carnal armor. We want the armor of Ephesians chapter 6. We want the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Our leggings is the shoes of the gospel. We have a sword, which is the word of God, and we have a shield of faith with which to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Choose the right armor. Cut off the head. So, a lot of people have been asking, whatever happened? See, David took the stone, and then Goliath fell face down. Some of the commentaries are debating, did the stone kill Goliath, or was the cutting off of his head, did that kill Goliath? And I just like to say, well, it was the stone and the sword that killed Goliath, for sure. You ever watch movies, horror movies, and like the hero shoots the bad guy? But I'm like, And then, you know, like the hero goes with the damsel in distress. And I'm like, he's coming back. They didn't check he was really dead. It doesn't matter how much you think he's dead, you know. And the next scene is the guy's coming back, you know. Like, ah, even though he's got holes all through him, like, ah, you know. And then, you know, then it's the final finish him off. You know what I'm talking about? I tell my wife all the time, I'm like, he's coming back. Look, I know, yeah, because they're not showing his heart and brain waves haven't stopped, so he will come back in the next scene, and sure enough, he does. So, a lot of people have always wondered what happened to Samson's sword. Well, it's been passed down. David used it later on. It's been passed down to godly men through the ages, and it's finally come to my hands. So, actually, what's that? Oh, yeah, not Samson's. Goliath. This was actually given to me by the district. And the pastors gave it to me and said, Joe, you know, it was just a compliment. On it, it has not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And they said, you use the word of God as a sword. So David comes and he finishes off Goliath. He chops off his head. You gotta, when you're facing giants in your life, you gotta cut off the head. So like when you finally get debt free, then as Dave Ramsey, I believe, says, you gotta cut up the credit cards. You cut them up. See, if you don't cut off the head, they come back. You'll reborrow just a little bit. And they come, so you gotta cut off the head. Look, when you get free of, you know, I don't know, some people probably have to cut their computer. To get free of pornography, you might say, I'm free, I'm not gonna look at it anymore on the computer. You gotta cut the cord to the computer. I know, radical. I have another way you can do that with a program that you can't break through if you need help. If you're trying to get free from alcoholism, I think you gotta cut off the bar! Cut it off. You can't be, I meet these Christians who are like, oh, I'm free of the giant of alcohol. I now can go to the bars and just drink a Coca-Cola. Who are you kidding? If you don't cut off the head, yeah, give it a little bit of time, but my money's on that giant resurrecting and coming back. You got to cut off the people that are tempting you and trying to get you to do wrong. If you're in an affair, you got to cut off that other person. You can't be fooling around with an adulterer or an adulteress. You can't. You got to cut off. You understand I'm talking spiritually with some of this, okay? All right. So let me share my next champion with you. It's another battle. It's a battle between Jesus and Satan, which I believe this battle here in the Old Testament was just a foreshadowing, was the amazing similarities between David and Goliath and the battle between Jesus and Satan. Scholars say there's actually 15 similarities, but let me give you some of them. Number one, David was born in Bethlehem. So was Jesus. He was born in Bethlehem. David was anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he got baptized, God the Father said, this is my Son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. And the Holy Spirit came on upon him in power. And Jesus says, the power of God is upon me now to begin ministry and to do battle. David was sent by his father to the battlefield. And so too, the Heavenly Father said, you know what? We're in the battle for souls of men and women. Who will go? And Jesus says, I will go. And so God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to the battlefield. Well, David went to the battlefield with gifts, and his brothers rejected him. So what are you doing here? You conceited. You shouldn't be here. You just came to watch. It says in John chapter 1 that when Jesus came to his own, to the Jewish people, they rejected him. What are you doing here? They were jealous and envious of Jesus Christ. David asked, what would the reward be if I slay the giant? And So Jesus, it says in Hebrews, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Wealth, yes, no more taxes. You know, at one point Jesus was talking to his disciples about that the sons of God will, when we get to heaven, there's no more taxes. When you work, I think we're going to work jobs, we're going to enjoy them, and guess what? Tax-free in heaven, okay? But you also get to marry, you get to marry the king's daughter, and I see that as the church. God the Father says, you're victorious, I have a bride for you, the church of Jesus Christ. If you know anything, by the way, David did marry Saul's daughter, and she was a headache. And I'm thinking to myself, do you think the church is ever a headache to Jesus? Do you think the bride of Christ is ever a headache to Jesus? Yeah, I think so. Okay, I'll help you out with that. So they go to battle, and it's a representative battle. You got Satan on one side and Jesus representing mankind on the other. But Satan, you see, David defeated Goliath by the stone and the sword. But I think Satan learned his lesson from that battle. I think Satan was behind all that. And so Satan learned his lesson. And he was like, you know what? I'm not fooling around this time. And, by the way, let me mention, Satan always uses an armor bearer. That's because Satan is a coward. And so he uses people in front of him. And you see, that's why, and it's the armor bearer who always got it usually first. But you understand, Paul says, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against the evil powers behind that. Satan uses people, and he hides behind them. He lets them do the dirty work, and they get, I feel bad for people. I feel bad for ISIS. It's not, our battle, I mean, I feel bad. It's not really against these people. It's the devil behind them. They're just armor bearers for him. And I feel bad because they're going to get killed. They're going to get killed. But we have to deal with the evil forces behind it all. But I think Satan learned his lesson. So if you take a sword, if you take a big sword, and you plant it into the ground like this, what do you have? What do you got? You have a cross. And the devil has a huge sword. And I think he's like, no, I learned from Goliath. Right? And so he took his huge sword and he crucified Christ on his sword. He planted it right through the heart of Jesus Christ and put him to death. And then he put his body in a tomb. And Satan said, I have won the victory. Jesus and all the saints, all those that have died in the Old Testament, you have lost, and evil has won. Jesus Christ is dead on the cross, his body is buried in the tomb, and his soul is locked down in Sheol. And I hold the keys to death and Hades. I have won, and I believe Satan believes he has won. Until 3 days later, Jesus Christ came out. And Jesus says, you know what, Satan? I had the power to lay down my own life, and I have the power to resurrect my life. And you cannot, grave, you cannot hold me. Sheol, you cannot hold me. And he resurrected up out of that tomb 3 days later, and he moved that stone away from the tomb as he came out, and that stone of that tomb was like a rock that hit right into Satan's forehead. Like, whoa, what hit me? What happened? And Jesus says, oh, by the way, Satan, that sword that you used against me, you don't know this, but actually I paid for the sins of all mankind when I was on that cross. You used it as a weapon against me, but guess what? I take your own weapon that you used against me, and now it's a weapon against you. It is the weapon of the cross. I always laughed. All these women wear these crosses, and I think to myself, oh, you're wearing the weapon Satan used against Jesus, right? Right? But now, it's, you know, as a Christian, it's got a new meaning because David took Goliath's own sword to do him in. And Jesus took Satan's own cross sword and said, guess what, Satan? Your weapon is now, it is through the foolishness of the preaching of the cross that saves people. The weapon you used against me, Satan, is now the weapon against you. You are defeated because of the stone of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and my death on the cross for the sins of mankind. Let's look to the Lord in prayer.